Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to the North Point Community Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free North Point app where you can access all of our recent message content. And actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at North Point. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Is it not hard to believe that the summer is already here? It is for me. And sometimes in life, I've noticed that it really feels like time is flying. And the fact that we're already at this point in 2018 makes me feel that way for sure. And maybe what's even as hard to believe is that the end of summer will be here before we know it. That we are going to be through the beautiful days of summer before we even realize it. And so just for the next few minutes, I want us to talk about what kind of summer we want to have. What kind of summer do you want to have? What kind of summer do I want to have? Are we going to live the kind of life we want to have this summer? Because I really believe that life can change if we decide for life to change. All of life could change if we decide for life to change. In fact, what needs to change about your life? What do you want to change about your life? If I were to ask anybody that question, if I were to just say to you, what do you want to change about life? Most people give answers that are circumstantial. Most people say, well, I wish I had a different job, or I wish my kids would quit doing this, or I wish my parents would quit doing this. And most of us think of things, or we naturally gravitate toward things that are outside of us. But just for the next few minutes, I want to talk about some of the things that can change inside of us. And it all revolves around our habits, because the most effective way to change your life is to change your most common habits. The best way to change your life is to change the habits in your life. And this summer is a perfect time to do that. The 2 or 3 months of summer, they're going to come and go. And you and I, we're going to get to the end of summer, and we're going to look back over the last few months, and we're going to take everything that we do, everything we don't do, and it's going to fall in one of two categories. We're either going to be glad we did, or we're going to wish we had. With pretty much everything. The habits that we create, the habits that we sustain, the new experiences that we have, we're either going to be glad we did them, or we're not going to establish or create or sustain new habits, and we're going to wish that we had. The summer's going to come and go. The summer's going to be gone before we even know it. Are we going to do the things that we know would change our lives if we would only do them? And if we do, I really think we're going to be glad that we did. And that's such a better place to be in than to wish that we had. So I just want to talk for the next few minutes about, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to change the things inside of us? I remember waking up, probably it was the new year last year, which is usually the time of the calendar where we think about what's going on in our life. And I remember thinking, at what point in my life will I be old enough and self-controlled enough to actually live the life that I know I want to live? You know what I mean? I mean, there are things in your life that you know you want to do, you wish that you did. At what point in life am I going to be an adult about life? At what point am I going to be old enough and self-controlled enough to actually do the things that I know I want to do? To have the kind of intentionality that I want to have as a dad? To be the kind of husband that I know I want my wife to think of me as? To be the kind of employee that I know my boss wants me to be, and the kind of employee that I want to be, the kind of self-learner that I know I want to be, but I just don't always do those kinds of things. And so what I want to challenge us all to do is, let's use this summer as a summer to establish some of those new habits, because I really believe that all of life could change if we decide it to change. All of life could change if we just decided for it to change. yeah, your circumstances aren't going to change. Your in-laws, your mom, your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers, they might do the same kinds of things that they do that maybe irritate you or maybe bother you. But what if something on the inside of us could change such that life would actually change? I really believe it's possible. And I believe this summer would be the best summer ever if we would establish some new habits that would cause life to really change. We would get to the end of summer, we would look back and we would think, I am so glad that I did that, as opposed to the feeling of, I wish I had done it. So much of this kind of change that really could happen in your life and my life, that kind of change that really does happen on the inside of us, so much of it is it's a shift in a paradigm. It's a shift in a perspective. It's a shift in the way we see the world. And Jesus was the ultimate paradigm shifter. Jesus was the ultimate in helping people change their perspective. In fact, in his first sermon that he gave, when he landed in the middle of this amazing time of life where he was starting to let people know what his agenda was, when he started to let people know who he really was, right around the same time when he started to do the kinds of miracles that people started to take notice of, the kinds of miracles that would have landed on Drudge Report or the AP Wire. Did you hear? Can you believe that Jesus actually did this? Right around that same time, he preached this sermon to a group of people, a couple thousand people probably. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew, one of his closest followers, chronicles this amazing sermon. I want to read you just a couple of things from it, because Jesus helps us in this way to shift our paradigm, to shift our perspective. He teaches us how something on the inside can actually change. This is what he most commonly says. In fact, he says it about over 10 times in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, verse 21 is the first time he says it in this sermon. He says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago." You've heard it said. And he commonly brings people back to, this is the way most people see life. This is the way most people think life works, but let me shift your paradigm. Let me shift your perspective. Let me help you allow something on the inside of you to change so that you can see all of life changing because of that. He goes on to say, after he says that, he talks about a couple of different interesting topics, but then just 10 verses later, he says this again. He says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made." See, this group of people that he's talking to, specifically the religious leaders, they were really good at helping people learn how to find loopholes, helping people learn how to take a promise that you had made and find a way or a reason that you could rationalize breaking the promise. Aren't we all so good at that? I mean, we're all really good at talking ourselves out of working out, eating well, being financially healthy. In fact, maybe you came into this year with some of those habits, and I would imagine by now there's some of us who have already talked ourselves out of it. Well, this group of people that he's talking to were really good at doing that. So he says to them, he says, "Listen, again, you've heard it said, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you've made." So he said, I know you know that's true, that if you make a vow, if you make an oath, if you make a promise, that you should keep good on it. But he says, this is what people do to break it. He said, "But I tell you, do not swear on an oath at all." So if you're finding a reason to make a loophole, he says, don't even feel like you need to, "Oh, I swear that's going to happen." He says, no, don't swear on it. He says, "But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." So he says, you're going to be tempted to want to say, "I swear to heaven," right? Or, "I swear on earth," or, "I swear," in their case, "on Jerusalem." You know, in our day, the way this looks or feels to people is, I remember in middle school, people would say, "I swear on my grandmama's grave." You remember that? That was like the, "I don't know how to take this any higher," or, "I swear on my mama," or, "I swear on," whatever it may be. In this day, he's saying there are people that would use the Lord's name in vain in this way. "I swear to God," is what people were saying then. I swear on earth, I swear to Jerusalem. He's saying, you don't even need to swear. It goes beyond that. If you want to learn how to make good on a promise you made, if you want to learn how to stick to something that you know you want to be true, there's another way to do it. So he continues. Next verse, he says, and don't swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. So he says, even you swearing is powerless because you can't change the color of your hair. Some of us have trouble keeping the hair on our head there. Some of us have trouble keeping the hair on our head the color we want it. Either way, it's out of our control. He says there is something that's under your control though. And in this, he gives us the secret to learning how to make good on the kind of life that we want to make good on. Next verse, he says, verse 37, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. He says it's just that simple, that there can be a power within you that can say yes to the right things and say no to the rest. That there's something in us that can help us learn how to say yes to the best and no to the rest. There's something in us that can provide the self-discipline, the self-control, the self-determination to say yes to the things we want to be true about us and say no to the things that we don't want to be true about us. He's going to say later on that this power is actually the life of God in us. This power is God living in us. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have a relationship with him, that power is in you. That power is known as the Holy Spirit. That power is known as the Spirit of God living in us. And he provides us the power to live a self-controlled life, a self-disciplined life, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And this summer, I want to encourage all of us to figure out, what do we want to be true? What habits do we want to create? And then that we could pray, God, would you let your spirit in me, let your power in me, give me the ability to have enough self-control, the ability to have enough self-discipline to let my yes be yes, to say yes to the best, and to say no to the rest, so that I can see life change, so that I can see the kind of life lived that I want to live. So I began with this question that I've been trying to ask myself is, when will I be old enough and self-controlled enough to live the kind of life that I know I want to live? I want to pose a similar question to you. When do you feel like it's time in your life to be the kind of person you know you want to be? I know it's not that simple to just decide to be and then to be, but in a lot of ways, it really is that God has given us the ability because he's in us and the authority because he's given us personal responsibility to decide to be the kind of husband you want to be or the kind of wife you want to be or the kind of dad or mom or grandparent or the kind of person or the employee that he really has given you that freedom to decide, but also the responsibility to own your life. He's given that to us. And then he's given us the empowerment, the ability to enable that to actually come to fruition, that all of life could change if we decide for it to change. I really believe that's possible this summer. I don't believe that's too lofty. I don't believe that's crazy. I believe that could happen for you this summer. But it's going to happen in the small yeses, maybe the small no's. So what is it for you? I'll give you just a bunch of random examples, and maybe this might help you think about something that you know you want to be, something that you want to do this summer. Maybe you want to go to bed with your phone charging in another room. Maybe it's that simple, that maybe you find your time being sucked at night by just getting engulfed in something that you're reading on your phone. In fact, maybe your relationship with your significant other could be described as both of you staring into a phone. Maybe you just need to charge your phone in another room. Maybe you need to decide, I'm going to read 2 books this summer. I don't want to get crazy and try to do a book a week. I'm just going to read 2 books that are going to make me better this summer. Maybe you decide, I'm going to say good morning to everyone at work as soon as I get there. Maybe it's that simple. I want to be known as someone who's friendly. I want to be known as someone who's open and available. And so maybe it begins with you just saying hello to people in the morning. Maybe it involves a spiritual discipline. Maybe you decide, I want to begin the day by praying for 15 minutes. I mean, don't get all crazy and become like some spiritual zealot and go for like an hour. I'm just saying 15 minutes. Maybe you just decide this summer, I want to wake up every day and pray for 15 minutes. When are you going to be old enough and self-controlled enough to actually do that? Maybe you decide, I want to get in a Bible reading plan this summer. For me, that's particularly what I'm going to do. Starting June 1st, I'm going to read the book of Proverbs twice, once in June and once in July. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. I'm at a stage in my life where I need more wisdom. And so starting June 1st, all the way to the end of July, I'm going to read the book of Proverbs twice, each chapter with the corresponding day of the month. That's what it's going to be for me. But for you, I don't know what it is. The great news is you can decide. Maybe you should ask somebody what they think it ought to be for you. Maybe you don't ask someone. The great news is you get the freedom to be able to choose, but don't let the summer get all the way by. And you look back and go, I missed an opportunity and now I wish I had. Maybe for some of you, it's as simple as just getting more involved with our church. Particularly if you live in an area where we have a local church, maybe it means you're just going to try to be there more consistently. If you have kids, your kids cannot miss what's happening at our churches this summer. And I'll tell you more about that at the end of our time together. But for you, if you don't live near one of our churches, maybe it just means I'm going to make this a more consistent part of my week. Maybe it means you pick a series that you know you need to listen to and you just decide I'm going to binge watch that this summer. I'm going to use that as my drive time on the way to work this summer. I don't know what it is for you. The options literally are endless. But when are you going to be old enough and self-controlled enough to live the kind of life you know you want to live? I really believe that God is very interested in this for us. I believe that God wants to help us with this. There's a proverb that I come back to over and over again, and it's found in Proverbs 21 at the very end of the chapter. It says that our job is to prepare the horse for battle. That's what you and I are responsible to do. Our job is to prepare the horse for battle. But then it goes on to say, but the victory is the Lord's. That the victory is not because you prepared the horse. The victory is not because you got better. No, God wants to give us victory in life. In fact, in a lot of ways, He already has assured us of victory in life. But that doesn't abdicate us from the responsibility of preparing the horse. No, our role is to prepare the horse for battle. God says, my job is to provide the victory. And so this summer, I hope that you make the kind of decisions, that you establish the kind of habits that will allow you to be the person that you want to be. And I trust that in doing so, that God will let you experience the kind of victory in life that He wants you to experience. Don't let the summer go by. Get to the end of it and wish you had. I hope that the summer goes by for all of us and we'll look back and go, I am so glad that I did.